two timelines, one impossible mystery. Life is Strange Double Exposure follows Max Caulfield as she shifts between two timelines to solve a supernatural murder mystery after finding her friend Safi dead in the snow. In this parallel timeline, Safi is still alive and still in danger. With her new power, can Max solve and prevent the same murder? Buy Life is Strange Double Exposure, available now on Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5, and PC. Rated M for mature.
Hey guys, before we get started today, wanted to let you know this is a special episode of the Mina Kayyem Show featuring Lenny, part of my limited edition interview series with Toyota. I got a chance to get together with Puka Nacua, the Rams wide receiver. We chatted this offseason about pretty much everything, his story, his heritage, the Rams offense, how much he loves blocking, how he got so good at it. It's a wonderful conversation. He is an absolute delight. Hopefully we get to see him on a football field very soon. But in the meantime, here is my interview with Puka Nacua.
Welcome to the Mina Kayyem Show featuring Lenny. This is a special limited edition podcast today, courtesy of Toyota. The Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander community is an emerging community of NFL fans and players, and Toyota knows we roll deep. So deep that with their help, I am going to be interviewing a couple of the brightest young Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander stars in the NFL. We're going to talk about heritage, their family, football, their success in the league. I'm so excited to have these conversations because there are a couple of players that I have talked about a lot on my podcast. Now I get to talk to one of them. We are on a set right now. There's a car behind us. There's things happening, so you might hear some noises. But the voice you're about to hear is one of the brightest young stars in the NFL last year. Shattered a ton of records. You don't even have to name them all. Puka Nacua, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I listed A-A-N-H-P-I at the top. Mm-hmm. You are both NH, Native Hawaiian, and PI, correct? So you're two of those things.
Correct.
Okay, can you explain that?
My mom is full Samoan, so I come from a Samoan background. My dad was born in the Big Island and has what they call the Hawaiian mutt in him of being Hawaiian and having Portuguese and just a mixture of the different cultures that have come into the Hawaiian Islands and stuff like that. So those are the terms that my dad gave us when we were growing up.
I put together a team last year of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander superstars in the NFL. There was like a viral tweet from Rashard Mendenhall where he put together two teams. It was like the all-black team, yes, and the all-white team. And I was like, okay, but what we got? Yeah. We got some hitters. And yes. I actually remember, I think maybe it was Will Compton who tried to put you on the white team. I was like, no. Yeah, you
yes,
can't have him.
I do remember
He's
that.
Ours. So I brought you back. I brought back Kyle Hamilton.
Yes.
Who somehow he claimed because of Notre Dame. but when I put together that list, people were very like, whoa, there's actually so many. P.I., heavily needed in the trenches. In fact, I don't think we would be able to field a squad without P.I. in the trenches in particular. But I actually think that's what's so interesting. There's a lot of things that are interesting at you, but that's one really interesting thing is that there are a lot of NHPI players in the NFL. There have been many, but not many receivers. And I wonder what that was like for you growing up, because I assume you played with a lot of guys in Utah where you grew up. But not as many skill players, correct?
Yeah, definitely. It was like a new position for me. I had growing up playing football. I started in the trenches, kind of where everybody. I had a big head as a little kid, so that was kind of where it started in the trenches. Like, hey, if you hit him with your head, then you can win most of the battles. And then you learn some technique. You're like, okay, you've got to take your head out of it. And where do you work? And then I kind of wasn't built to play the trenches. I couldn't take on a double team anymore. So like, hey, maybe you go try to catch the ball. So luckily, like, just before me, I got to watch Juju Smith-Schuster, and like, so that was just kind of like the first kind of glimpse of like, oh, there's somebody else doing it. Like, there's a blueprint, but it is it's so very interesting to see where everybody spread out. At the Pro Bowl, it was me, Tua, and Panay out there, and I thought that was so sweet. We had two offensive guys and like two skill positions, like you said, and like having a quarterback and a wide receiver. Even though we didn't get to throw it, we were on the same or on opposite sides, but it was still cool to be on the same, like mentioned in the Pro Bowl.
I don't think many people know that Panay is a distant relative.
Yes.
Yes. So the Sewell family, which is a lot of guys.
Yeah, loaded up all over the NFL, and then they had the brother Gabe playing in the UFO, and like my other two brothers, Kai and Samson. And yeah, so I got a chance to play against Noah and Panay in high school. I won that matchup. We beat them in the playoffs.
Wow.
But yeah, it was so interesting to find out how our families were connected after we had played football against each other.
Wow. You're one of six and five of our boys, right?
Yes.
And a lot of your brothers played football.
Yes. All.
Some at the NFL.
Yes. My older brother Kai was in the league for about 6 years. I'm an undrafted free agent. And then my brother Samson did preseason with the Colts just before, in 23.
Wow.
My little brother is a freshman at BYU right now. He plays wide receiver as
well.
He plays
receiver?
Yes. he's the last of us.
Well, I wanted to ask you about kind of your brothers. And so five boys, six kids. Congrats to your mom. she's Panina, right? Is that how you say it?
Panina? Yes, Panina.
I wanted to ask you about her because not only, obviously, raising six children, incredible. Obviously, you guys have all gone on to do great things. But taking on such an outsized role after your father passed away when you were fairly young, correct?
Yeah, my mom is the strength and the rock of our family. My father passed away in 2012 in what seemed like the fastest year that ever like kind of happened in my life. It was a blink of an eye, and then we were moving to Utah, and I just remember being in a different space and my mom just being able to rally us and allow us to continue to do what we felt like we were normally doing was playing sports, and then also go find the support and family that we needed in order to be able to adjust to the new world that we were living in without my father there, and having my mom do everything possible. I just feel like my mom was like the guy in Spider-Man that has eight arms. She was just moving around all the time. Like
you mentioned, though, the Sunday dinners. I do want to ask, like, what kind of foods you had, and I asked this in particular because I have heard you do not eat vegetables.
Yes.
Is that fake news or is that right?
No, that is not fake news. I definitely don't.
You should really eat vegetables.
I know. I eat fruit, so I guess that's my
same thing.
Close to it. That's as close as I'm going to get to it. But yeah, my mom, chop suey, fried rice always, like teriyaki chicken, palusami, like some of the more like taro. My grandma would always try to get us to eat taro and stuff like that. Like spam musubis. If one of the aunties made, my mom would always try to make cookies. That's my favorite meal that my mom makes is cookies. So if we were going to a Sunday dinner, I know that there was a potential for my mom to make cookies. So it's like I gotta steal some of them before we get there.
We've just been talking football in the breaks, and you've said so many interesting things, one of which is you're like, I love 11 personnel. And, of course, the Rams live in 11 personnel. It has been the hallmark of the Sean McVay era. Use it more than any team in the league, meaning you're on the field a lot.
Yeah.
Can you explain why you love it so much?
I mean, as a receiver, I think that's your greatest advantage of having three other guys out there who are running routes at a high level, too. But makes our tight end job, I feel like, that's so much easier, but also a little bit harder because they got to communicate with us. And as receivers, we all got to be locked into the run game and stuff like that. But I feel like the opportunity for a big play to happen is always there when you have through our receivers. But then the ability to mix up the run game and how we affect the run game with that all levels of the defense, I think is super fun. And we do it differently than everybody.
It's interesting because I think it's upwards of 90% of the time that you're in three wide receiver sets. Typically, because of that, defenses obviously have to play you with their sub packages, so you face a ton of nickel. Mm-hmm. And, you want to put light bodies on the field? We're going to ram it up your gut. Last year, we talked a lot on my show, the evolution of the Rams run game to a more duo-based offense.
Yeah.
But it strikes me, listening to you talk about that, because of your personnel, you're able to get the defenses you want, and then once you got the defense you want...
Yeah, we do what we want. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so much of that is predicated on having receivers who can block.
Yep, 100%. And it starts with our leader, Cooper Kupp, and the ability for him to communicate and then also show us what he's got. He's put it all on tape before, and so he communicates at such a high level, and also it's an effort thing. It's a want-to. It's not always easy, and I think sometimes I get mixed up. Now that these linebackers get to wear single digits, I'm like, oh, sometimes he looks like a safety.
It's very confusing to me.
Yeah, you're telling me running into Patrick Queen is not great when you think you're supposed to go hit. Maybe even Kyle Hamilton is not an easy block either. But it's also like, hey, I'll take Kyle's matchup over going to hit that guy. But yeah, it also makes it more fun because they got to be aware of you just as you're aware of them.
What are some of the other unique challenges of playing receiver in Sean McVay's offense?
I think the terminology, the play calls do have a good amount of length to them, and the terminology. There's so many different things that are being thrown out. Is it this one for the duo call? Is it that one for this route? There's so much going on, so many different moving pieces. You always got to be aware of where you are on the field and then what's going on.
Another thing that I think is unique is obviously the amount of motion, which is another Sean McVay hallmark. I bring that up because I don't think people appreciate the additional workload. can you explain to people what it takes to motion, both the what it takes and then also the benefits of it?
Yeah, I think the benefits of it is like getting information from Matthew, with having Matthew Stafford back there, his ability to dissect the defense and to know, okay, how do I manipulate the defense to my favor and stuff like that. When he gets information of us running across the field for even like a short motion on the same side of the field, or going all the way across and then still running around, and the leverage that creates for us receivers of getting certain defensive looks, the DBs have to communicate. Is he going to stay here? Is he going to lock? Are they going to man up? Is he zoning it off? Is he going to pass off once I become number one? Is he going to lock on me if I stay number two? And just all the different communication that has to happen right before the ball is about to snap. And it's something that we work on really, really hard during the week because it's not easy trying to time it up and to make everything look the way we want it to. And then also for Matthew to understand where we're going to be moving with all the different moving pieces we have. But it's super fun. Yeah, I think as a receiver who lives and thrives off leverage, that's something that Coach McVay creates in this offense with all the different moving parts we have, whether it's in the run game or for us to block a linebacker, to block a defensive end, or in the pass game to out-leverage a corner, out-leverage a nickel, and then be outside because we always are tight impact between the numbers. So as soon as you outflake a defense, it creates a lot of problems.
Your point about leverage, it's very important to understanding the Rams. And I think it's also important to understanding what makes you in particular great. One of my favorite things watching your rookie season was how unbelievably effective, deadly you were against zone coverage. It just felt like you had this like prenatal ability to find the spaces, find the voids in zone. And some of that is scheme, obviously. You talked about the motion, which also creates some of those voids.
100%.
But a lot of it is because of what you just described, which is leverage and how much your game is based on leverage. Can you explain why that enables when the other team's watching, they're like, how the hell is that dude so open? Well, it's not luck. In fact, a lot goes into that. Can you explain it?
Growing up, like I had mentioned, I played football and basketball, and I love watching I love watching LeBron highlights and basketball stuff before the game. Like I'm on the team bus, or if we're going to SoFi, like I'm driving to SoFi. Like I've watched enough LeBron highlights to just play the YouTube video and know like what game it's talking about or what move he just did. So like when I get out there, I run routes. It feels like a crossover. It feels like a Euro step at the top of some of these routes, or it feels like a hop step. So I feel like the ability that we get to create leverage as a receiver when you run routes and your freedom that you get to run the routes with, but then in our offense with how we get to move in the motions and the natural leverage that creates is so fun because I feel like you have the opportunity to get people off balance. And growing up, I got beat up a lot in football, so I love the physicality that comes in the game of football. So I think of like, man, if I did this move and the DB feels like a little bit off balance, like of course I'm gonna run into him and give him a little bit of shoulder coach and then break for the ball. But as a receiver, it's offensive PI. But I just like the physicality of the game that makes sense. If I give you a 1-2 and I see you've created a misleverage, or now I can still cross your face, or I can give you a 1-2 and then as soon as I go into you on my second step and now I shoulder you, I'm breaking away to get the ball. I think it's something that me and Matthew picked up on very early, and he was like, oh, I'm understanding what you're doing. It took a little while, but obviously we figured it out.
Well, also because you alluded to the condensed formations, you play in high traffic areas of the field, which is another thing that's unique about your game and what's asked of you in that offense. So that physicality, it's not just a plus. It's actually kind of necessary for you in particular because of the offense and what is asked of you beyond just the blocking.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like, they play off of each other as well. Just the ability to make things feel like one. If I get to hit you on a run play, I can hit you a little bit on the pass play, but you don't know which one it is yet until I start running.
You seem to like hitting, which is not common for a receiver.
Yeah, I love the physicality of the position I get to play.
Was there a block last year that you were like, you saw on, you know, the next week, and you were like, yeah, that was me?
We had a run, the first play out of the Cleveland Browns game, 19 whatever it was, and I had a chip block on the end, and then I got to get up on the nickel, and I thought he was going to overrun, but I just felt like I was like, oh, I got a good amount of body control here, so I'm trying, and then he tried to stop, and I'm able to pin him, and then Kyron just reading and freaking pops him. I think it was like gashed him for like 20 on our first play out of the half, and I was like, oh yeah, I had a little bit of a shoulder thing, but that was like, all right, we're back in the groove, baby.
You're talking about blocking for Kyron. Something that really occurred to me watching the playoffs and the really good offenses is a lot of them really feature receivers who block. Yeah. I think about you, I think about Green Bay, right? And some of San Francisco obviously is known for, they've been the prototypical skill players blocking this offense. Yeah. But I think the Rams now are really up there as well. What do you think it is about like this moment in football? Obviously there's coaching tree and a lot of those guys come from the same lineage. But do you think there's something about wide receivers blocking that makes it so important and effective in today's NFL?
Yeah, I feel like the athleticism of the guys on defense at each level has definitely changed. And from what the NFL, I feel like, we're seeing guys who play defensive and have run 4-3. I think of Nolan Smith, who came out my year, of like the guys who are 6'5 and can change direction like that now. So the ability to have to influence them every game with the 49ers, like a first one to speak of, but when you have four guys who can get at the quarterback as fast as they can, the ability to have to influence them, not only in the run game, so they have to feel like they can't just rush straight up the field, and then also in the pass game of like, they got to feel like somebody else is stopping or making them change direction. And I think that's what we do it the best, and the be able to maybe not block them sometimes, but influence them in a
at
different
least,
direction so our bigger bodies can get attached to them.
It's kind of like you're making them think, too. And, of course, with the Rams offense, you just never know because it's always the same players.
Yep.
Run in the pass looks the same. Everything looks the same.
Yeah, I'm going to be lined up right next to you 85% of the game. And sometimes we're going to 85% of the time I'm lined up there, I'm going to hit you too, whether it's a run play or a pass play.
What does coach call it? The illusion of complexity. He has like a phrase for it where like it seems like it's the same thing always, but you never know what could happen out of that. You know, we talked a little bit about all the things you were great at your rookie year. I was wondering if there were any other nuances of the receiver position that you'd like to get better at, like anything in particular this season, whether it's a route or your releases or whatever, double moves.
Yeah, I would definitely say like just traditional route running in our route tree, the offensive routes that we have. I feel like there is a lot of room for improvement. I feel like me and Matthew definitely found a connection, but I also feel like there are times where he's bailing me out where I can save more space and things like that and just be more efficient. I feel like I'm cutting off the right foot this year and then just being more precise, just cleaning up. I feel like I was a little bit heavier last year, was wearing some different shoes and stuff like that. I get to wear some nice Jordans and stuff this year, so I'm gonna be feeling good, but then also moving a lot better.
Matthew Stafford, you mentioned that there was kind of a point where you felt like he was kind of like, okay, he's trusting you, and I'm sure Cooper Kupp also played a role in that. What is it like playing with Stafford?
It's the best. I think of somebody like the quarterback that everybody wants to play for is the guy that's never going to take himself out no matter what's going on, and that's who number nine is. And
he's tough.
Yeah, tough
he's
as nails.
Tough guy,
and then he also has a cannon on his arm. Like, I think nobody else can spin it. There's not a spot on the football field that he can't put it and put it with accuracy.
There was a throw to you last year. I think it was a crosser. You were coming from, I think it was against Seattle, the left side. One of the craziest, it was a great catch, but one of the craziest throws I've ever seen. I don't think it was a no look, but you guys, I felt like you kind of had that connection really. Actually, I remember week one was against Seattle. I'm a Seahawks fan.
Going
in that. I'm like, you know, Cooper Kupp's not playing. Who are these? There's all these rookies. I know you put up at least 100 because I remember in that game being like, Puka Nacua. Who is Puka Nacua? He's ruining my life. But you came out so hot in Cooper Kupp's absence. How much of his tutelage helped you like immediately make an impact in the NFL that way?
100%. Coop was there like right by my side in all those practices, that he wasn't there, and being able to ask him questions, and then to for him and the connection that him and Matthew have, not only with each other, but then Coop's knowledge of the game of football as well, and understanding defenses, and then understanding leverage at the wide receiver position, made it so easy to go out there and feel like, okay, I have complete trust in number nine. But then I feel like I've asked the questions to understand, okay, if I get this look, where do I go? Or if I get man coverage now, I can win. I can take my time a little bit more. If he zones off now, okay, I can speed up a little bit, and maybe I jump in the next window. And Coop was there, and he gave me all those answers, and was also willing to show me, hey, you might not think of this. I've played Seattle before. This is not my first time I've played Bobby Wagner. So he was giving me a little of the tips and keys of especially the guys that you get to play against twice a year. So it made it really fun.
We're going to talk a little bit more about your culture and some of the players who came before you. We're about to be joined by one of them, I believe, an icon. Haloti Ngata is going to jump on and join us.
Sweet. Let's go.
Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far, it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who has seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of their local branches. What does it feel like to get the new iPhone 16 Pro with AT&T Next Up Anytime? It's like when you first pick up those tongs and now you're the one running the grill. It's indescribable, like something you've never felt before. All the mouth-watering anticipation of new possibilities, whether that's making a perfect cheeseburger or treating your family to a grilled baked potato, which you know will forever change the way they look at potatoes. With AT&T Next Up Anytime, you can feel this way again and again. Learn how to get the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on us and the latest iPhone every year with AT&T Next Up Anytime. AT&T, connecting changes everything. Apple Intelligence coming fall 2024 with Siri and device language set to U.S. English. Some features and languages will be coming over the next year. $0 offer may not be available on future iPhones. Next Up Anytime feature may be discontinued at any time, subject to change. Additional fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See att.com/iPhone for details.
All right, we are back. As I said earlier, with Toyota, we roll deep. And we roll so deep that we were able to bring on an AANHPI legend of the game, Haloti Ngata, one of the best to ever do it. Welcome to the show. We have been talking about all of the many great PI, NHPI, Poly, Native Hawaiian players who preceded Puka, including, of course, yourself. However, not many receivers. So what's it like watching Puka out there do his thing as a rookie, knowing that he is a little bit of a unicorn culturally?
It's just a lot of fun to see our culture continue to support each other and just wish all the Polynesians, like players, all the luck and success as much as they can, obviously, in the league. And it was just a lot of fun to watch Puka last year.
Haloti, Puka actually mentioned this to me earlier. You grew up watching pass rushers, defensive linemen, and even when you started playing receiver, when you were young, you actually held on to some of the things that you watched. Can you explain that?
Yeah, back in Las Vegas, we were a girl. My dad would have the iPad for me. We would be going to the game, and he would throw Lawrence Taylor highlights up for me, and we would watch his tape, and we would kind of go over it consistently. I used to play DN. I had a big head at the time, so there wasn't too many cross chops, or I wasn't trying to dip and rip. It was more, okay, I got a bigger head, I'm going to bull rush you. But as a receiver, when I understood the ability to create different leverage and to get somebody going a different way and then counter react, and it's not always about, I don't have to go through you to win. I can just toss you over a little bit. I can throw you by 2 inches. The room for error and the room for success in the NFL is not 3 yards. It's a game of inches, like they say. It truly is like that. So the ability to watch these guys who get to do at the highest level with 300-pound guys trying to move them, and they move them, and they create leverage, and all from the snap like that. It was something that I try to implement into my game. But I that was maybe why I have a couple offensive PIs, because when I see somebody a little bit unbalanced, I'm like, oh, I'm ready for my finishing move, coach. I got to go right down the center. I got to finish him. That's something maybe for more of the trenches that I get in trouble for on the outside.
not the most common wide receiver mentality, Haloti.
That is so awesome. I love it. That's amazing that you use your defensive skills to be a great offensive player.
Haloti, you guys are both from Utah, or spent a lot of time in Utah, obviously. We've been talking a little bit about community and the community of Asian American, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander players in the NFL, but there's also the Utah community. Like, just listening to you talk before we jumped on, it kind of feels like everybody knows each other. Like, can you explain to me the role that community plays in Utah with all the players who have come from there, both high school, college, and the NFL?
It's just amazing to see that community with each other. And then now me trying to get into coaching high school ball, you see a lot of that too as well. So the Polynesian kids staying close-knit, and then me wanting to kind of get closer to the Polynesian kids and be like, hey, like, let me help you out a little bit more with things here and there. And nothing against other kids, it's just like, it's just more like I want to see our people kind of succeed, continue to succeed, and make it in life.
That's great. Speaking of that kind of brotherhood, it goes into college, which is why when you watch, well, what used to be Pac-12 football, all the teams, like obviously Oregon, Haloti, I'm a Washington fan, by the way. We haven't talked about how sad I am. What could have been, but you know, but Washington, Utah, BYU, all the schools in the West Coast, but particularly the Northwest, literally like half the roster is Polynesian names typically. And so there must be a lot of continuity, Haloti, going from even high school to college before you even get to the NFL.
The thing, when I went to Oregon, I think of most of the Polynesians guys left, but there's five of us that came in together. We were on a recruiting trip, and we were like, hey, let's just all come here together. So it was pretty cool to kind of get that feel at a recruiting trip. And then when we were there, like, we roomed the whole time together. Like, and now, as you see, it's a bunch of us there.
Yeah.
Washington's the same, and obviously the Utah schools,
but everybody, and they never, like, do you know you're gonna get the spam made, somebody's mom's gonna send corned beef over to the house,
and exactly,
like, and then it also makes like, hey, where are we gonna go out to eat tonight? It's like, oh, we all love McDonald's, but also there's the little restaurant over here that sells the spam musubi, and they do chicken katsu. So it's like, we were like, hey, you find the spot,
exactly,
and you do it all together. So it made it that much more fun.
You gotta have the spam.
For sure.
Koreans love spam too. I don't know if you know that. I'm Korean. Koreans love spam.
It's a mandatory. I will never switch up.
Haloti, one last question for you before we let you go. Obviously, your NFL career was incredible. Puka's only at the beginning of it. What piece of advice would you give him as he heads into year two after an unbelievable rookie season?
Well, obviously, you start off amazing, better than I think a lot of other Polynesians have, but my biggest thing was just staying healthy, obviously doing what you can off the field, off season, understanding your body to your best knowledge, and then hiring the people, the right people to get you to understand your body. I don't know if you see all these crazy, like Tom Brady's and Jameis Harrison's, like talking about how much money they spend on their bodies. And it's true. Like, I spent pretty close to what they spent on off seasons of doctors, therapists, you know, massage people, getting two people to massage me at a time, to two people stretching me at the same time, to hydration, to everything. So anything you could think of, just trying to make sure you are able to be out on the field as long, because that's where you're going to get paid. So being able to understand your body to the best of your knowledge was the biggest thing I learned in the NFL and helped me play 13 years. Mm-hmm. So I would say that you're ready. You understand the game already pretty well, and you have great leaders. I played with Matthew Stafford in Detroit, and so I loved him as a quarterback. Being a defensive player and coming to Detroit, how great of a person he was off the field as well was amazing. To be there with him, and such a great leader. And so you have amazing leaders, you know, with Cooper and Matthew. And so those guys are will definitely help you along the road with football. But understanding your body is going to be the biggest thing, and being able to be out on the football field and performing is going to help you play a long time.
That's great. I feel like he was saying a little less spam there. We don't know.
That's not what I got.
Eat a few vegetables. Eat a few vegetables. Hilary, thank you so much for joining us. This is really special. Appreciate
you. Thanks for having me, guys.
I know you got the organ, but I'm a guy. I gotta throw out the Go Dogs and Go Cougs always.
for sure. I wore it just for you.
This holiday season, don't forget your number one fan, you. So what's a gift you could use? Maybe go to more home games, or even travel to some away games while rocking a new away team jersey. Well, we've got something for you. Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. With Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. That'll help with that swanky away jersey. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. At 5-Hour Energy, they stan the fan. From the new to football fans to the born for the love of the game lifers, they know fandom isn't just a hobby, it's a way of life. We're talking about the fans who are born to fan. In fact, 79% of professional football fans have been fans of their favorite team since they were born. Enter the superfans, the unofficial captains of the fan base, known for outlandish antics, hearts of gold, and passion on top of passion. They're leading the charge for their teams and for their cities. It's about their deep love for the community. It's about pride in their colors. It's about rooting for their team no matter what. No matter what team you root for, 5-Hour Energy knows being a fan requires heart, soul, and a whole lot of energy. That's why they've created a limited edition Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy to keep you fueled throughout the season. Available on 5hourenergy.com, shipped nationwide. That's the number 5hourenergy.com.
All right, we are back with Toyota. We are going to do some rapid fire questions. You talked about the influence that Cooper Kupp has had in your career as a teacher, mentor, model. And there's also some influence in the game too, like the way you play. Setting him aside, is there another receiver, either in today's NFL or even before, where you look at and you say, that I'd like to emulate his game, or maybe it's even something you feel is possible?
Julio Jones was the guy I like to watch. Like, I know seeing like a big receiver, being the ability to break down and still run every route tree and to have the vertical threat, I think he's one of the best to do it of all time too. And so that's somebody I try to mix into my game.
Year one, who was the hardest corner you went up against?
I think Stephon Gilmore was
really,
yeah, somebody I felt like he just like a veteran savvy player, understood. I don't know how many times he's seen the Rams offense. I didn't even think about how he'd played them in the Super Bowl and stuff.
That's
like
right.
That just on a different team.
That defense plays a ton of man coverage.
Yep.
Does that also factor into it a little bit?
I guess I didn't really think about that, like, no, because there were still feel like there were opportunities like I won, I just didn't finish. So it's like that, it was like a good mix of like, oh, he beat me sometimes, but then there's sometimes I just beat myself. So that's why I was like, that was the matchup. I feel like I left some out there.
What is a hobby you have that no one knows about?
I think I'm a pretty good bowler. That's
how good.
I average above 200.
Okay.
Like, I got my own bowling ball. Like back of my spot down in Orem. I don't bowl too much out in LA, but back of my spot back in Orem, a miracle bowl. I got the lane 16. I'm over there.
They got your photo up on there.
Maybe? I wish. I haven't had a 300 game, so not yet. That's how you get your photo.
I think all you have to do is ask, and they'd be pretty happy to put your photo up now. He puka bowled here. So we've been talking a lot today about culture and heritage and the legends that came for you and sort of the community. Mm. How important is it to you to represent that heritage to millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people who watch the NFL?
It's everything to me. My last name and how I was raised, and to be able to represent my culture that I was raised with and the ways that my mother had taught us, and then also to represent my father who's not here, and my family, and what that means to me is everything. To influence them, the things I remember as a kid of my father leaving the house early in the morning, that the dedication and the hard work, and then the respect and the relationship and the investment to be kind to others that I learned from my mom, and the ability to go out there and enjoy what I'm doing in playing football, but then also to enjoy the life that I get to live is something that I don't take for granted.
It's actually been really cool to hear you talk about more of the X's and O's side of the game, because obviously so much film prep study, all that, because I think when people watch you, they're like, man, he's like a kid out there, he's just having fun, he's so joyful, and all of that's true, but like you kind of got serious there when you were talking about, you know, blocking responsibilities and motion and all the things in the offense, and I think that's kind of another facet of your game maybe that people don't really see or know as well.
I try to, in the meetings, I would say Coop and Matthew would definitely agree. Like, I try to keep the meetings like light, and I want to learn all the intricacies and understand everything to the best of my ability, and for us to have the success. But I also want us to have fun and throw a couple jokes in there, or maybe throw in my favorite SpongeBob episode that maybe they've seen or they're showing their kids and stuff like that.
I was
like
gonna say, I don't think that they're. That's so funny.
Yeah,
you
they're
might have
definitely
more
not watching SpongeBob.
Yeah,
sometimes, but I'm like, hey, maybe I don't know if your kids are ready for this show yet, but I think it's a good one. Maybe if you're interested in showing them, you can watch it.
Oh my gosh! Speaking of kids, have you thought about the fact, or have you seen the fact, that maybe Pali Hawaiian kids grow up watching you? It occurs to them, oh, I could be a receiver, not just like because of the uniqueness of you playing that position.
A little bit. I had a glimpse. My brother played it. Like I mentioned, my brother's a freshman at BYU. He had played in the Polynesian High School Bowl, which was in Hawaii right after our season was ended. So I got a chance to go out there. And I guess I did it occur to me, like, season was over. I was going to see my brother. I was going to watch my brother. My mom was out there. And at the game, how many kids came up and were like, oh, I played, like, and just seeing kids play receiver and have kids have my jersey on. And, like, we're playing in the back of the end zone, throwing the football around. And, like, it kind of clicked in that moment. I was like, wow, there are going to be kids that want to play wide receiver because they saw me play wide receiver. And I guess it was like such a, and that's where I feel like the responsibility and the honor it is to represent my family in the way that I was raised, and the kindness and the dedication and the hard work that I learned from both my parents is something that I want those kids to see, because those are the things for them to be the next Puka Nacua or whoever they want to be.
I think it comes across. Last question. You are here with Toyota, joining this campaign. There's a team of athletes. You've met some of them, Eli Manning, Kyle Hamilton, Brock Purdy. How does it feel to be part of a team like that and to really have like a deal like this so early in your NFL career?
Yeah, I'm blessed to be a part of the Toyota team. I feel so excited. I remember being able to do some stuff with them at the Super Bowl and kind of the interest that it led me into, and then being able to say I'm part of the Toyota team now is such a blessing. Like you mentioned with the other guys, to have fun with them in a different type of way. I know we're all football players and we can compete and enjoy that way, but I like to we compete in everything, I feel like, in my household and stuff like that. So I feel like I got the car that I feel like is the best of them all, I think, out there in the Toyota brand and stuff like that. It's one
with
not
which
everybody
car is that?
I drive the Toyota Supra, so
okay.
I'm low to the ground and I absolutely love my car. It's been the best ever since I've gotten there. If you hear the car that's going around, it's got a little behind it, that's probably Puka Nacua driving behind you on the 405 right there.
Dude, you're already an elite spokesperson. You seamlessly weaved in that endorsement, and obviously you actually drive it. So
yeah, I love it. Never did I think that I would be in a two-seater car, especially with all the siblings and stuff that I have. So it makes it nice, because now I feel like my girlfriend is right next to me in my passenger seat like that. So my brother's got to drive their own car and find their own way, because there's no more Ubering with Puka anymore, because I'm riding in a two-seater.
That's really funny. Awesome. Well, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.